Please welcome Adele Vernon.
Every time I open my mouth, you know I'm not from here. So the story I'm going to tell will be chronologically, but that's not the way I figured it out. Now, in England in 1938, my father was building army camps, and I'd already talked to someone there, I don't remember names, about Borden and Aldershot and Guildford and so on, because we knew there was a war coming. So we went back to London for the Blitz. I mean, why would we miss out on something like that? So anyway, we suffered through it, as 11 million other people, Londoners, did. It was the biggest city in the world at that time. Now it's only 8 million. You wouldn't recognize it. So anyway, it was November 9th, 10th of 1938, and my mother's mother died when my mother was young, and she was about 15. She was cast adrift, and she was apprenticed to a hairdresser, and so there was this Auntie Frieda from Berlin who was in substitute mother in a way. What happened was, my mother, being off on her own at such a young age, wanted a home. So she picked on my father, and I have no idea why, and became pregnant, and I'm the result. So he never liked me because I wasn't a boy. If I'd been a boy, I could have been forgiven. I didn't know this to begin with, but you know, things work their way through. Anyhow, it was November 9th, 10th, the night in Berlin, or Germany generally, of the broken glass, Kristallnacht. And so all radios at that time were shortwave, and my mother and Auntie Frieda were listening to what was going on in Berlin, and all of Auntie Frieda's family were still in Berlin, and I thought of them as my family because that was the only family I knew I had, even though they were courtesy family. So my mother said to me at that time, I was 7 going on 8, don't ever let anyone know you're Jewish, because we really thought that Hitler was coming. We didn't have any defenses. We had nothing. We weren't ready. And surprisingly, you know the end. In the end, the war was resolved without Hitler coming into England. But so that, you know, my oldest brother was only 5, so he wasn't told anything, and we had no religious education in the house, so it never came up, it wasn't a topic. So anyway, I always knew I was Jewish, and I used to mention it sometimes to people. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew that that's who I was. And then we came to Canada as a family, my parents and 6 children, in 1949, and became Canadianized and led a good life. It was wonderful. My parents never settled down, but I think that's because my mother was Jewish and she had that wandering gene. So anyway, they wandered all over the place, and basically we stayed in Alberta and me in British Columbia because I didn't want to get frostbite a second time. Winters in Alberta, you don't want to go. Really, don't. Snow is horrible stuff. So anyway, my mother died finally in 1985. And in 1982, I'd managed to get rid of my first husband, who was a clone of my bastard of a father. So it wasn't a good 30 years. So when I got out of that, he fell in love with my friend. I didn't think of her at the time as my best friend, but now I do. She was right there for me. She didn't know what she was getting into, but she wanted it, she got it. Anyhow, so my mother died in 1985. Oh, there was one thing, though. In 1954, 10 weeks after I had my oldest child, my first husband and I went to Europe for a year so he could do his articling and become a licensed architect. And while I was in England, this is why my daughter ended up being called Tuppence, one of my mother's old friends used to babysit for me so I could go out and get groceries. And then she said to me one day, I can't come today. She had to come around and tell me, we didn't have telephones, that she was going to a funeral. And I said, oh, okay. She would bring me back the stuff I needed. She got back and she said, you know, I didn't even think about it, but it was your grandfather's funeral. I didn't know I had a grandfather because my mother hadn't married Jewish. She'd married out, so she wasn't part of that family anymore, and it might have been a big family. I've no idea, really. So anyway, I didn't even get to meet him. I could, but who, you know, when you're a kid, you don't say, why don't I have a grandfather? At least not any kid I've ever known. You know, it just doesn't come up. So anyway, 1982, when I got out of that first marriage, and I was working, I was helping to run a women's support group for 14 years for women in going through menopause, because at that time doctors didn't really know anything about it because it wasn't covered in medical school until later. So we were a research project for 3 years. And this Polish lady, when I said, you know, I'm really Jewish, and I was being proud of it. So she phoned me later and she said, so Adele, you're Jewish. What are you going to do about it? And I said, oh, I could do something. And there was a brand new rabbi in town. And because it was in Victoria, there were long periods of time without a rabbi because it's the edge of the world. It's the cutting edge, but it's the edge of the world. So I got to see him, and for 9 years I went to the Jewish information class every Wednesday night and learned a lot about Judaism, and it was wonderful. Then 1985, my mother died, and it's about 8 years after that I'm standing with the women's group, the Jewish women's group at the Jewish Community Center, and this other group came along. And in that group, I couldn't move. I was just like a block of ice. I could hardly breathe because my mother was walking towards me as a young woman. And I couldn't believe it. And it was Stephanie Gilbert. She had the same widow's peak, black wavy hair, gap between her front teeth, armhole bosom. I just stood there. It took me a few days to be able to track her down and say, you know, we must be related because I can't believe you're so much like my mother. And she was Now, her family had left London in 1948 and gone to Australia, and then they'd gone to Israel, and then to South Africa. And so they had really, you know, the wandering Jew, what can you do? So anyway, they landed up in Victoria, and this was her third husband, a Canadian peacekeeper. So that's how they met, in Tiberias. So when I showed her pictures I had of my mother as a young girl and a teenager, because I didn't have any of her as a grown-up person. And she looked at them and she said, you're not thinking of me, you're thinking of my mother, they're the same girl. Well, they're not, but we knew we were related, but everybody was dead by then and we had nobody we could ask. I had no idea what family names were or anything at all. And so we got to be family, and unfortunately she came down with cancer. So for the 3 years she was fighting it, I was with her 8 to 10 hours a day looking after her so her children and her husband could go to school and work. And we got to be very, very, very close. But she didn't have any other pictures of her family that I could look at because they were all in Israel with her sister Vonnie. Anyway, the thing is that her name is Stephanie. She had a daughter, Abigail, and a daughter, Daniela, son, David, who was the oldest. And my youngest daughter is Stephanie Abigail. and Stephanie looks just like Daniela with the same fuzzy mane of hair and the same square nose and everything, you know. So we know we're related, we just don't know how. So I feel like my father's family, which my brothers and my sister sort of cling to, well, I cling to my mother's side. So they had a 50th anniversary of being in Canada for that long, and then a 60th anniversary, and I was really interested, so I asked my oldest brother in Calgary about it, and he said, you're not invited. So there was a family reunion I was not invited to, and that was my blood family, but the family that I'm really united with are the ones who live in Israel. Well, one of Danielle is now in San Diego, but I feel like I now have a real family.